You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor David Pate.
Let's go ahead and dive into the Word today. Let's get into this. One of the things that we hear a lot about today is the term privilege. Privilege is something that we're talking about a lot today, and it's the idea that some people have certain advantages or privileges, or some people have disadvantages compared to other people. And this especially is pointed out when you look at race or gender or age, and it's just the idea that some people have a head start in life and some people don't. And privilege, it's a big concept in education today, big thing taught in our high schools and colleges, and really, as a culture, we're getting more and more frustrated with one another because of things like this. In fact, there's a popular video on YouTube that is going around, in fact, being enacted in college classrooms, and I wanted to start off our sermon today with this video. You guys watch this.
Hey, line up. Line up. Everybody line up. We're about to race. Everybody line up. Shoulder to shoulder. Take off your backpacks. Basketball, line up. We're about to race. Hey, we are racing for a $100 bill. The winner of this race will take this. It's a $100 bill. Before I say go, I'm going to make a couple statements. If those statements apply to you, I want you to take two steps forward. If those statements don't apply to you, I want you to stay right where you're at. Take two steps forward if both of your parents are still married. Take two steps forward if you grew up with a father figure in the home. Take two steps forward if you had access to a private education. Take two steps forward if you had access to a free tutor growing up. Take two steps forward if you've never had to worry about your cell phone being shut off. Take two steps forward if you've never had to help mom or dad with the bills. Take two steps forward if it wasn't because of your athletic ability, you don't have to pay for college. Take two steps forward if you never wondered where your next meal was going to come from. I want you guys up here in the front just to turn around and look. Every statement I've made has nothing to do with anything any of you have done. Has nothing to do with decisions you've made. Everything I have said has nothing to do with what you've done. We all know these people up here have a better opportunity to win this $100. Does that mean these people back here can't race? No. We would be foolish to not realize we've been given more opportunity. We don't want to recognize that we've been given a head start. But the reality is we have. Now, there's no excuse. They still got to run their race. You still got to run your race. But whoever wins this $100, I think it'd be extremely foolish of you not to utilize that and learn more about somebody else's story. Because the reality is, if this was a fair race, and everybody who's back on that line, I guarantee you some of these black dudes would smoke all of you. And it's only because you have this big of a head start that you're possibly going to win this race called life. That is a picture of life, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing you've done has put you in the lead that you're in right now. When I say go, on your mark. Get set. Go.
concept in this video is that we are all in the race of life. We're all in the race of life, and some people have advantages and some people have disadvantages. And really, when they went through the list here of different questions, it actually boiled down to two things on these questions. All the questions, there was a bunch of them, but they really only went into two categories, and it was family and finances. That's what every single one of these questions had to do with. And I think we can all agree that some people have more of a head start in life than others. But the question is, with the start that we have been given, are we going to be a victim or are we going to be a victor? My title today is Privilege, Victim, or Victor. A victim sees and lives life out of a glass half empty. They think, because of my situation, I can't make it. I can't overcome. I can't catch up in the race of life. I'll never become anything. It's already over because of my start. I don't have a chance. See, life is based on what we personally can see happening in our future. See, a victor sees life out of a glass half full. They think, if God is my God, then nothing is impossible. See, a victor lives by what God said, not by what we see. See, Philippians 14 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Matthew 19, with people it's impossible, but with God everything is possible. Ephesians 3:20 is, God is able to do immeasurably more than we can think, ask, or imagine. See, life is based on what God can do. It's not based on me. See, victims focus on what we don't have. Victors focus on what we do have. In fact, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14, and I want us to see kind of the mindset of Jesus and the way that God sees things, because if we get caught up in the way culture sees things, then we will start to believe that in the race of life, we can't catch up. In the race of life, there is no chance for me. There is nothing that I can do about the situation that I have been given. In Matthew chapter 14, we see here Jesus gets in a boat and he lands here on the other side. And in verse 14 of chapter 14, it says he saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them. And he has church and he starts healing these people. And as evening approaches, the disciples came to him and they said, hey, Jesus, we're in a remote place. It's getting late. We need to send them away so they can go to the villages. They can buy some food. And Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said, well, we only have here 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Bring them to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down in the grass, take the 5 loaves and the fish, look up to heaven. He gave thanks. He broke the loaves. He fed the people. They had all these basketfuls left. I mean, this is an unbelievable story. See, Jesus had an option that the disciples did not see there. Yeah, that was not a good situation, and Jesus has options that we don't have. And so here was Jesus in this situation. He has church. Church goes over. Classic church right here. It goes over. The people are hungry, and just like us, they live in the village and everything was closed, okay? It was late. You know how it is. Midweek service gets out. Even if it gets out early, it's too late and everything is closed. That's just the way, that's life in the village. You got to have the early bird special or you're not getting a special at all. And so they're like, we can't send them away. The people are hungry. What are we going to do? And they said, all we have is this. And it's amazing the difference between our view on what we have and God's view on what we have. See, our view on what we have is we don't have enough. My start isn't good enough. My life doesn't have what it needs for me to do what God needs for me to do. But God has options that we don't have. And right here was a victim-victor moment for his disciples. Right here was a victim-victor moment. Were they just going to succeed to we don't have a chance? Or were they going to give it to God and let him be the victor over their situation? See, God has options that we don't have. And we always want to tell God what we need. We always want to tell God what we don't have. And God doesn't need what we don't have. God doesn't need what we don't have. God wants to take what we have and he wants to multiply it. See, God doesn't need a good start in order for it to all add up. Because God is a God of multiplication. God can multiply past a bad start. God can duplicate. He can speed up the process. You know, sometimes we look at the process and we think it needs to take this, but he doesn't need this in order to speed up the process. It's true. Some people have a head start over others. But does that stop our opportunities in life? See, in this video, it said, no excuses. You still have to run your race. And I think he makes some really good points. But I think it falls short in the end when he says you can never catch up. He says, had this been a fair race, then you could have done something. See, had life been fair, then you could have done something. We've all said that. Life's not fair. We've all heard that. We've all said that. And of course, we always have that fun person in the room that says, life's not fair, you know. And you know, it's true. Life isn't fair. Life isn't fair. But it says here, unless we all have the same start, it said in the video, we can never overcome a bad start. That's what they said. Unless we all have the same start, we cannot have better outcomes. See, the truth is, great outcomes don't need a fair start. They just need an opportunity. And if you're tweeting today or if you're trying to speak like Josh Barnett today, I'm going to give you something he might have said. God doesn't need your start. God needs your heart. God doesn't need our start. All God needs is our heart. God didn't need the disciples to have a better start. Jesus didn't need the disciples. He just wanted their heart. God didn't need Joseph to have a good start. God didn't need Esther to have a good start. He just needed her heart. God doesn't need what we don't have. He needs what we have. And the wrong message and the worst message that we can tell people today is you can never catch up. You can never overcome a bad circumstance. You can never overcome a bad situation. But God doesn't need our start. He needs our heart. He needs our decisions. He needs our faithfulness. He needs our growth. He needs our trust. He needs our time. He needs our hard work. See, God needs us to do what we can do so he can do what he can do. And that is what he's always trying to get. He's always trying to get our attention. He's always trying to grab our heart. And I think sometimes, you know, when we say this, it might click in our mind or it might be easy to say, well, you know, if God just needs our heart, doesn't need our start, then we don't even need to work hard. We don't even, that's just going to cause people to be lazy. And really, I think it's the opposite. I think if we're giving our all to God, we're going to want to do the best at everything we do. And that really lines up with what Paul said in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart because you're working for God. We're not working for men. We're working for God. See, we should always be working toward being more faithful with what we have. We should always see, how can I save more? How can I spend less? How can I develop my skills? How can we increase our effectiveness? How can we get some more education or development? How can we restructure our business? Basically, how can we be better this year than we were last? We should always be looking to be faithful with what God has given us. But what we're telling people today is you're a victim. You're a victim. You can't help it. You can't catch up. And that just doesn't line up with what God's word says. That just doesn't line up. See, we're telling people, if you have a tough start, there's no hope for you to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. And I love seeing people's stories. I love seeing people's stories. I love seeing people overcome terrible odds. I love seeing those. I think they're big faith builders. And obviously, the Bible is full of that. I mean, it's story after story of people overcoming unbelievable odds. But I love even hearing modern day stories. I don't know if you've read the story of Dr. Ben Carson, the guy who ran for president not too long ago. I don't know if you know his testimony, but of course, Dr. Ben Carson went on to become the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins. Okay, kind of a big deal, kind of a pretty amazing accomplishment. But when it's an even bigger deal when you know his testimony. Here's a man that grew up in a divorced home. He grew up in Detroit in the projects. His mom, her story's unbelievable. His mom was one of 24 kids. Got me, 24 kids. Yeah, that's way more than any TLC show we've ever watched right there. That's way more. That's unbelievable. 24 kids, got married when she was 13, got divorced because her husband had another family on the side, had a couple families going on that didn't jive for her, and so single mom, had to go into low-income housing in inner city Detroit, and she refused to go on government welfare. She said she had seen so many people go on it and not come off of it, so she had two or three jobs cleaning houses, and anytime Ben came home giving her excuse, she asked him, "Did you have a brain?" She said, "If you have a brain, then you can overcome that, and you could come up with a solution." And he said, "She never let me use an excuse, so I stopped making them. And I started coming up." He said, "My nickname in school was Dummy, because I was the lowest in my class. I was the dumbest kid. I got the lowest. I was failing. I was the worst." And he said, "So my mom made me read. She made me read. She started making me do these book reports. And they would turn them into her, and she would mark them up and give them back." And he said, "I didn't discover till later in life that my mom could not read." So she was fake marking these book reports and handing them back for me to do. But he said in a period of 2 to 3 years, he went from the bottom of the class to the top of the class because he discovered he was not a victim. And then he went on to become who he was. But his mom refused to be a victim, and he refused. They both had terrible head starts. But our head start does not determine our finish. But it's scary what we're telling people today. It's scary what we're telling people today, that there is no hope. I love talking to Kevon Johnson, one of our interns who just recently graduated from Leaders Academy. And he talks about his mom, single mom, who they went on food stamps, had to go to government assistance, but she refused to be a victim. So she became a realtor. She got a realtor's license, became a realtor, began to sell houses, began to do better. And she bought a 5-bedroom home for their family because she worked hard and she said, "My start doesn't determine my future." In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine about what I was going to talk about today, and I sent him the YouTube video. And I said, "You know, look at all these questions." And I said, Could you have stepped forward on any of these questions?" And he said, "No, in fact, I would probably had to have stepped backward." And he said, "But my start didn't determine my finish." And I love that God has called us to be a victor, not a victim. God has called us to be a victor, not a victim. In fact, every one of God's people in the Bible were overcomers. Every one of God's people in the Bible were overcomers. In fact, turn to Genesis chapter 39. I feel like almost every sermon today this year we're turning to Joseph, but maybe God's trying to tell our church something, so we're just going to go there. But in Genesis chapter 39, I want to peek just at a little small part of the story of Joseph, because think about Joseph's life. Classic no head start. Forced into slavery by his own family. He was a minority in a foreign nation that he was not even born into, no money, no possessions, no racial advantage, but he had a dream that God was going to use him to make an impact on the world. And look at right here in the first part of Genesis chapter 39, right here in verse 2 when he was sold into slavery. Look at his attitude. Look at what a victor does. It says, "The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did." Now remember, he was a slave. He succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Verse 3, Potiphar noticed his victor attitude. And he realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did as a slave. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of the entire household, everything he owned. From that day on, it says, "The Lord blessed Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly. His crops, his livestock, they flourished." So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. Dude had nothing to worry about except for what to eat. Now, what did Joseph have? Slavery. That was what he had. And he did everything with what he had. See, it's not about what we don't have. It's about what we do have. Are we doing everything with what we do have? His start wasn't great, but he took what he had and he gave it to God and he worked as hard as he possibly could. And of course, he was promoted and eventually became vice president of the most powerful nation in the world at the time, Egypt. And that's not a head start. See, if you put Joseph on that starting line, he would have had to have taken a couple steps backward. He would have. But he did everything with what he had. See, this passage should describe all of us here in church. Is that we should have success in all that we do. No matter how big, how small, we should be faithful. We should be working hard with everything that we have. Life's not fair. Life's not fair. And we all want a fair start. It's so natural. But we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. It's not ever going to be a possibility in a fallen world. In fact, I want to encourage you. Pastor Paul's going to be talking about in a couple of weeks at our midweek service why evil and suffering. One of the most powerful things that just talks about the world we live in and some of the tough breaks that we get in this world. I want to encourage you. So powerful that you be there. But now what? This is where we find ourselves. Life's not fair. Now what? What do we do? What part will we play? Will we be the victim or will we be the victor? And the awesome thing is, it is up to us. That's awesome. But if we say it's not up to us, there's no hope in that. There's no future in that. If we just put up there, well, there's no hope and this is where you're at, this is where you're given, there's no hope in that. But Jeremiah 29:11 says that God didn't give us no hope. He gave us hope and a future. He plans to help us, to prosper us, to see us grow. Where we're at. Here's the challenge that I have for all of us today. I want to take this in a little different direction. When we do see people that have privilege in areas that we don't, I want to encourage us, we have to stop doing three things today. And this is something that is important as a society with the frustration that is building over what we have with each other. I think it's important that we stop doing three things when we see people of privilege. Number one, we got to stop making comparisons with other people. It is not our job to compare ourselves. Everybody's got to have their own walk here on this earth. We all have to walk our own walk here. And we're called to be responsible for our walk, not someone else's. Number two, we got to stop being jealous and coveting what other people have. God has not put us on this earth to be jealous and covet what other people have and what other people are doing on their race. And number three, we got to stop shaming people for their privilege. We got to stop shaming people for their privilege. See, we're even going so far as to call people racist because God has blessed them and they're doing well. See, we got to be happy for other people. We don't need to be shaming them. We got to learn from them when we can. But Exodus 20:17 says, "No lusting after your neighbor's house, wife, ox, donkey. Don't set your heart on anything that is your neighbor." And we're going so far as to say, I want to take from my neighbor. Or my neighbor has too much. And I ought to have what is my neighbor. Couldn't be more unbiblical than anything that there is. But the biggest thing we got to stop doing is we got to stop looking at other people's advantage. And we need to start focusing on finding our own advantage. See, Galatians 6:4 says, don't compare yourselves with others. Just look at your own work to see if you've done anything to be proud of. You must each accept the responsibilities that are yours. And we all have responsibilities. And they're all a little bit different. And that's okay. But we have this idea that we're all supposed to be the same. How boring if we were all the same. But we're not all supposed to be the same. We aren't all called to be the same. But we all have equal value. We all have equal value. See, being different than someone else doesn't mean we have less value. Being different than someone else. Men and women are different, but they have equal value. See, we don't have to be the same to have value. And that's why this has been an issue. We want to be the same because we think if we're the same, we have equal value. We can be different and have equal value. We have a value problem. And we're looking for our value from the wrong thing. See, if our value comes from stuff, then we have to have equal stuff to have equal value. And this is what's creating this offense, isn't it? This is what's creating this jealousy. This is what's creating this coveting. This is what's creating this frustration. Church, we have to stop looking at someone else's house. We have to stop looking at someone else's car and then looking at our car. We got to stop looking at someone else's cell phone. We got to stop looking at someone else's clothes. We got to stop looking at someone else's vacation on social media and feeling sorry for where we're at. We are so blessed in America. We are so blessed. The fact that we're even talking about this as an issue shows how blessed we are here in America. You know, in other nations, we're talking about clean drinking water. In other nations, we're talking about where is our next meal going to come from? In other nations, we're talking about sickness and disease. Here in America, we're upset because someone else has the iPhone 10 and I still have the iPhone 6. I mean, this is where we're at. I mean, church, we really have to take a step back and look at where we're finding our value from. And rich is relative anyway. Being in America, we're rich compared to the rest of the world. Being America, I mean, here in America, we have a level that we won't even allow people to fall from. I mean, it's awesome. It's a huge blessing that we have here in America. And I think in the parable of the talents, Jesus really did a great job of laying it out in Matthew chapter 25, where he talked about how the master had entrusted different people with different things, some with five, some with three, and some with one. And then it says he divided it in proportion to their abilities. And see, we all have different responsibilities here on this earth. And if we didn't have different responsibilities, we wouldn't all reach different people. We wouldn't all make a different impact. It would be so boring because we wouldn't be able to reach different people. But the point in the parable of the talents was not how much you had, it was what you did with what you had. Did you take what you had and grow it? Did you take what you had and were you faithful with it? Did you take what you had and take it to the next level? How are we handling what we have? See, we got to stop looking at other people's advantage and we got to start discovering our advantage. How did God create me? What giftings do I have? See, we look at someone else, then we look in the mirror and don't think we have anything because we see what someone else has discovered in and of themselves. But God hasn't called us to discover other people's abilities. He has called us to discover our walk, our giftings, our call, our purpose here on this earth. See, God has called us for our walk. What makes us unique? Because every single one of us has a unique ability. Every single one of us has an ability or an advantage in an area. Are we tapping into that? Are we taking advantage of that? Or are we sitting around frustrated and jealous and mad at other people? See, the five talent person shouldn't have to feel bad because they have five. But the one talent person shouldn't feel bad because they have one. See, we all have to walk where we're at. Problem happens when we start comparing ourselves with each other. See, our value can only come from our relationship with Jesus. Let's bring all this together here today, and I want to minister something to you. Our financial start in life, our circumstances are what they are. What are we going to do with them? From this point forward, what are we going to do with them? Some of us, we could tell, Ben Carson has nothing on some of our stories in here. Some of us, the abuse, the family, the upbringing, the start that we had, it isn't fair. But it's where we're at. And God hasn't called us to change the past. He's called us to be in the present and to change the future. See, we have to think from this point forward. Maybe you're sitting in this room and you're not happy with the way that you raised your kids. And maybe they're gone. Maybe you don't have a chance to get that back. But we can't look back. We have to look forward. Maybe you're sitting here today and your career hasn't worked out how you set out. You went out for this major and you went out and you worked hard and this didn't happen how you thought it was going to happen. Maybe you're in retirement. Retirement hasn't gone how you thought it was going to go. Maybe your school experience hasn't been the best. You weren't the prom king or the prom queen, or you got cut from the team. But see, we have to quit looking backward, and we've got to start thinking from this moment forward. See, victim will have us staying in the past. Victor will have us pushing forward, looking for what God has for us next, and not saying, I can never catch up. Victim has us feeling sorry for ourselves. Victim has us tearing other people down and tearing down their success and what they have done. My relationship hadn't been what it needs to be. Maybe you're sitting here today and you think, I have no chance. Maybe you're here at church because that's what you're supposed to do. It's Sunday and that's what I do. I go to church. But I don't know why. Because I can't do it anyway. I can't make it anyway. There's no hope for me anyway. And I want to encourage you today, don't believe the lie that God doesn't care about you. Don't believe the lie that God doesn't have a future for you. I don't care your race, your gender, your age, your start, your hurt, your background, it does not matter. Because when you look in the Bible, every single person that overcame had a different start. They had a different story. They had a different moment. They had a different age. They had a different race. They had a different gender. See, it's not about that. It's about God using us from this point forward. But when we believe the lie, that's when depression sets in. And that's when you read about a mom who harms her kids. You see it in the news. It's tough. But depression had set in because she saw no hope for the future. I don't know if you know this, but over the last 20 years, suicide in men has grown almost 50%. Why is that? Because as a man, I see no hope for my future. As a man, I think my best days were behind me. My best days were what I did athletically. My best days were what I did when my body wasn't broken down. I see no hope for the future. And we fall into the victim instead of God's got a huge plan for me. Until He takes me from this earth, God has a huge plan for me. I have a future. I have a hope. We got people shooting up their jobs and their schools. Why is that? Because they believe there's no future. They believe there's no future. Addiction's killing us. We got to give ourselves to something. So we might as well drown out the reality that we don't believe can be any better than it is right now. See, church, God has options that we don't have. And just because we can't see them doesn't mean He doesn't have them. Just because some of the past hurts have been huge doesn't mean that there's not a new day coming. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have great moments for our future. And I want Christian Ministries Church to know, it doesn't matter the start that you have. It doesn't matter how fair, how unfair it was. It doesn't matter your background. But God wants to take your present and He wants to multiply it. He wants to heal it. He wants to use it. And He wants to take us to a future. And we got to quit trying to be the same as everybody else. And we've got to run the race. We got to run from our lane. We got to run at our speed. And we got to be faithful with what God has called us to do. Amen. Amen. Let's stand here this morning. I hope this was encouraging for someone here today. Here at CMC, we want you to leave church knowing that God has a future for you, that God has big plans for you. Church is not just a motion that we do, but it's a moment that we have so we can have movements out in our communities. Let's pray over our week here today. God, we thank You for Your word. God, I pray for our hearts here today. Proverbs says, above all else, we got to guard our hearts. God, I pray for our hearts today for those who have had a tough start here in this building. God, I pray for those who have had an unbelievably difficult time starting. God, I pray that the temptation of being a victim would not grab hold of us, that depression will not have us, that suicide will not win in our hearts. God, that we will not see hopelessness, but that we will see hope and a future and a plan. God, I pray for healing for our church. I pray for people to see what You see. God, that we would have Your eyes, Your perspective. God, that we would have Your view on life and not our view on life. God, I thank You that You've placed us on this earth not to fail, but in You that we can do amazing things. Thank You for our service today. Help CMC to make a difference in our community this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.